All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves in the midst of Parshas Kisisa. So first of all, we dedicate our learning tonight Le'ilui Nishmas Gittel Bas David, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. And also in the Zuchus of Refua Shalima for Talia Efrat Bas Henya, and we hope again in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she should have a complete and enduring Refua. So we find ourselves in the midst of Parshas Kisisa. So Parshas Kisisa, on one hand, represents a link in the continuity to the Parshios before it, because again, Parshas Kisisa begins also to continue, or not begins, but continues the discussion regarding the Mishkan. On the other hand, what Parshas Kisisa also does is introduces us to the dramatic narrative of the Chet Ha'Egel, the sin of the golden calf. Of course, the placement of this particular event of the Chet Ha'Egel, the sin of the golden calf, causes much of a stir among the Mefarshim. Did the event occur before the commandment to build the Mishkan, or was the Mishkan in fact a response to the sin of the golden calf? That is a fundamental dispute among the commentaries, one of which we're not going to focus on tonight. Instead, what I want to draw your attention to is an incredible event that occurs after the sin of the golden calf. Take a look at number one. So remember, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ubamayu Yivada Eifo, to give you a little bit of background to the background. God has told Moshe Rabbeinu that part of the collateral damage of the sin of the golden calf is that God himself is no longer going to lead the Jewish people. In fact, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we discussed this strange section of Pesukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu foreshadows the fact that he's going to dispatch a malach. He's going to dispatch an angel to go ahead and lead the Jewish people. And according to many of the commentaries, that particular section foreshadowed what in fact occurs immediately after the sin of the golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, in essence, I can't be within your midst. Too close is not good, because again, clearly the people have demonstrated time and time again in a relatively short span of time that they are constantly going to fail, they're constantly going to fall, and therefore again, it's in everyone's best interest that I, God, take a step back. I will not leave you leaderless. I will not leave you rudderless. I'm going to send you an angel who's going to lead you into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu essentially says to God, that's not good enough. What Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the following. God, you say that you have forgiven us for the sin of the golden calf. But the truth is, how do we really know that to be true? You know, the truth is, you could relate to this on a relationship level. If you're in a relationship with someone and you hurt that individual, you betray the trust of that individual. So we know that even if you apologize and even if the hurt party says, I accept, there's always that lingering feeling in your mind, do they really forgive me? Have they really moved on? So Moshe Rabbeinu Kivyachol says to Ribono Shel Olam, I know you say that you have forgiven us, but do you really forgive us? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, the only way that I and the people can be sure that you have forgiven us is Halo Belechtecha Imanu. You, God, have to lead us. If you lead us, if you take the helm, that is a tangible display of divine forgiveness. And in that sense, then I and your people will be distinguished from every other nation on the face of the earth. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to God, God, if you delegate the responsibility of Klal Yisrael to an angel, then in essence, we're no different than any other people in this world. Every nation has its own ministering angel. What sets Klal Yisrael, what sets the Jewish people apart, is a famous phrase, Ein mazel li Yisrael. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have mazel, right? Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of mazel. Ein mazel li Yisrael means is that our destiny is not given over to anything. It's not given over to the constellations. It's not given over to any kind of angelic intermediary. Our destiny is handled by God and God himself. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, if you hand us over to an angel, then in essence, the statement you're making is that we are like every other nation. And if that's the statement you're making, then that is clear, unequivocal proof that what? That you have indeed not forgiven us. Therefore, if you want us to believe that you've forgiven us, you have to lead us yourself. Number two, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Gam es hadavar hazeh asher dibarta eseh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, I'll give you this one also. Ki matzasa chin be'inai ve'eda'acha b'shem. You have found favor in my eyes, and I have known you by name. If you look at number 3, the Ebenezer writes, Vashem Heshiv, God responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gamis Hadavar Hazeh Shedibarte Eseh, Alkin Amar Moshe Yelich Na Hashem Bikirbeinu. So literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you this. I forgave the people. You asked me to forgive the people. I forgave the people. You asked for a second set of luchos. I'm going to give you a second set of luchos. Now you want me to lead the people myself. I will give into that request as well. The Malbim number 4 writes, Vayomar Shema Moshe, Gamez Hadavar Hazeh Eseh, Az Hiftichu, Sheba'osid Ya'aseh Gamezos, Shetiyah Shechina Mahaleches Imahem, Velo Esezos Ba'avur Ha'am, Rak Ba'avurecho, Kimatzasechin Be'inai. The Malbim understands that something much more profound is happening over here. When God promises that He is going to lead us Himself, that was not just a statement for the present circumstances of Klal Yisrael, that was a statement for the future as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you make a compelling point. If I don't lead you myself and I delegate your responsibility to an angelic intermediary, then you are no different than any other nation. What separates Klal Yisrael from every other nation is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself is actively involved in every aspect of our national existence. Therefore, God guarantees Moshe Rabbeinu that not only will I lead you now, but I will lead you in the future as well. And not because the people deserve it, but because I owe you, Moshe. I owe you. I owe you a debt of gratitude. You always come through for me, Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, again, if this is what you're requesting, I owe it to you to grant the request. Amazing. So it appears at this point in time, just as an aside, there are conflicting themes even in the Chet HaEgel itself, in the sin of the golden calf. Did God forgive us for the golden calf? Did He not forgive us for the golden calf? On one hand, God seems to say that He's forgiven us for the golden calf. On the other hand, the Gemara states, "Ein kol paron u'suparon shebal Yisrael." There's no misfortune that happens to the Jewish people that is not somehow rooted in the sin of the golden calf. It was such a major rupture in the relationship with God, says the Gemara, that the collateral damage is felt to this very day. Leaving that major machlokis aside, at least as far as the text is concerned, it would appear Moshe Rabbeinu makes one final request for direct divine leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. Comes number 5, Vayomar. Vayomar, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Har'eni na es kivodecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally translated, show me your glory. Hareini na es kivodecha. What we're going to try to explore tonight is, what is it exactly that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for? Right? What is it? What hareini na es kivodecha? First of all, you have to realize the context also. Moshe Rabbeinu has just spent 40 days, right, up at Har Sinai. He's just been 40 days without lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shasisi. I didn't drink anything. I didn't eat anything. He was more angel than man. If there was ever anyone who saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu bichvoldo ba'atzmo in God's divine pure essence, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. But yet at this juncture, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be asking for something additional. So the question number one is, what is he asking for? And then number 2 is, why is he asking for it? So the simple approach is Rashi in the Cheskuni. Number 6, Rashi writes, Vayomer harini nas kivodecha, show me your glory. Excuse me. Ra Moshe shahaya es ratzon udvarav mikubalim. So Rashi says it's a very simple cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that what? He's on a roll. Right? Remember, God was on the brink of totally annihilating the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't do it. God says, okay. Right? Jewish people are on the brink of being led by an angel, not by God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't do it. God says, okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, listen, if there's a time to ask to go for the gold, this is it. Hadrini noz kivodecha, Rashi says, v'hosif lish'ol lir'osu maris kivodo. And therefore, according to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu asks the mother of all requests, God, let me see your essence. Now, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for? So let's work backwards. We just said before that he was on Har Sinai. Now remember again, the divine glory came in what form on Har Sinai? A cloud. Remember, we mentioned this before in Passion. Rav Soloveitchik writes about this extensively, that it's not an accident that God always appears in a cloud, because a cloud is obscure. A cloud is ambiguous. You know that it's there, but you can't wrap your hands around it. So although Moshe Rabbeinu has perceived God, Moshe Rabbeinu has experienced God, Moshe Rabbeinu has come close to God, there was always this cloud-like veil, this cloud-like obstruction. So according to Rashi, what Moshe Rabbeinu is really asking for is lift the curtain. Lift the curtain, dispel the vapors of the cloud, and let me see you, God, for what you really are. I, Moshe, how can you even have such chutzpah to ask a request like that? It's very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, is 3 for 3, just in this week's parasha. If there was a time to ask God for anything, certainly he was in God's good graces. This is a time where he asks, again, the mother of all requests. In number 7, the Chizkuni writes the same basic idea. The Chizkuni says, it is exactly like it sounds like. Re'ias Shechina Mamish. Let me see, God, who you really are. I don't want to see manifestations of you. I don't want to see symbols of you. I don't want to see creations of yours. I don't want to see hints to your existence. I want to see you. Okay, why now? Rashi and Chizkuni will say, simply because Moshe Rabbeinu felt it was an auspicious moment for this request, since God has granted every request until this point. That's our first approach. Look at the second approach, the Rashbam. So the Rashbam takes a little bit more of a dramatic approach. So Rashbam writes, "Harini nos kivodecha, tama al atzmecha." So Rashbam begins by saying, "Tama atzmecha" means I'm saddled with such a profoundly overwhelming question. Tama al atzmecha, heich melo'o libo l'Moshe Rabbeinu lehanos miziv ha'shechina. Moshe, how can you even ask this question? How can you even make this request? Okay, I understand, Moshe, good, you're 3 for 3, you're doing wonderfully with God, you're batting 1,000. At the end of the day, it is chutzpah. How do you even have the ability to ask to be able to see the Shechina? Hello, ha'kosov mishabcho vayaster Moshe ponov ki yorei mahabit ela Elokim. Interesting, the Rashbam says something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu, his first encounter with God, where God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in the sneh, in the burning bush. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? Moshe shields his face. Moshe Rabbeinu won't look directly onto the countenance of God. So says the Rashbam, and the Rashbam attributes that to Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. So the humility that kept Moshe Rabbeinu from looking at the burning bush during their first encounter, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would actually ask God to see the Shechina Mamish? He says, Chas v'shalom. Look, so therefore the Rashbam says, God forbid that we should interpret Moshe Rabbeinu's request like Rashi and the Chizkuni did. There is no way that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to see the Shechina, because Moshe would never have the chutzpah to lodge such a request. So what was the request? Ela, lichros lo bris shel shnei dvarim shenisratza lo hakodesh baruch hu. Rather, what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for was a sign of a covenant with God. God had promised the Jewish people two things. Number one, Al kiron shel v'neflinu ani va'amecha. Number one, that the Jewish people will be separate and distinct, will be uniquely different than the nations of the world. And number two, Va'al pana yelechu laniach l'chom akol evecha. That God himself is going to lead us even into the land of Israel. So there were two promises that were just made by God. Again, number one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will set the Jewish people apart. And number two, that God himself will lead us all the way into Eretz Yisrael. V'chein amar, har'eini nos kivodecha, b'krisos bris amashe hiftachtani. So says the Rashbam, what does har'eini nos kivodecha mean? It means, God, you have to give me a tangible display of the covenant. I know you promised me. I want something tangible that shows that you are committed to upholding your promise. Sounds a little bit strange, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is usually pretty good for his word. But the Rashbam says something amazing. There's precedent for this. Kimo sha'asali Avraham kisha'amra b'ma'eda uksiv sham v'hinei tanur ashan v'lapid eish asher avar ben agzorim v'samich le'bayomahu karas Hashem es Avram bris le'mor le'zarachon asati. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram Avinu that Eretz Yisrael is going to belong to his descendants, so Avram Avinu asks a very simple question. Bama eda ki irashena. How do I know that I'm going to inherit it? And what does God do? God literally makes a covenant with Avram Avinu, what we come to call now the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And literally Avram Avinu cuts animals in half, puts them on the side, and a ball of fire representing the Shekhinah comes between the pieces. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you made a covenant with Avram. So again, you see that it's okay for people to ask God for some type of tangible display to God's commitment to an already mentioned divine promise. I need a bris. I need a covenant. I need to know that you are going to uphold your word. So what happens? Afkan shol Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyum bris. V'nisratzalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shirlo b'krisos bris kidichsiv v'ya'avor Hashem al panov v'yikro. So amazingly enough, according to the Rashbam, again, very simply here, not simply, v'hare'ini naz kivodecha is not Moshe Rabbeinu asking to see the Shekhinah. Chas v'shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu says the Rashbam would never ask for such a thing. So what is he asking for? A covenant with God. A covenant with God. Show me in some type of tangible way that you're making a promise that you are not going to revoke. And amazingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact gives into this request, as Sukkim say later on, Vaya'avor Hashem al panov. That literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes before Moshe Rabbeinu, much in the same way that God passed before Avraham Avinu. Okay, that's our second approach. Third approach, number 9. This is quite amazing. The Aznai Mutorah writes something fascinating. He says, Rav Sirotskin, he says 9:9 by the letter A, Hareini nas kivodecha, Yisrael chatu be'ego. The Jewish people committed the sin of building the golden calf. U'moshe mevakesh me'es Hashem mechila. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu request? Moshe Rabbeinu requests forgiveness from God. V'dai lefanav sheikablo. V'hinei hu mevakesh hosafa. Mashalo hayalo o ad ata. So the Aznai Mutorah, again like the Rashbam, is blown away by the request. The Jewish people built the golden calf. Bad stuff. God, Moshe asks for God to forgive them. God agrees. That's incredible in and of itself. And now that's not enough for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu has to ask, you know, when you trespass in a relationship, right? When you step over a line that should not be crossed, so when trying to mend the frayed bond, you don't make more demands in the relationship. Instead, what you do is you try your best to be the best relationship partner you can, right? If I betray the trust of someone who I'm supposed to love, I don't say, oh, and by the way, you know, my birthday's coming up. You know, I just wanted to let you know, you know, and I really like it. You don't do that. So sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Here, the relationship has just been severely strained. Moshe asked for forgiveness. God granted it. And Moshe says, great God, thank you so much. Oh, and by the way, that's not enough that you've forgiven us. I'd actually like you to give me something that I did not have before. I never really saw who you were. So how can you even ask this question at this moment? Right? So Aznai Mutorah, something amazing. V'nira, shegamze bikesh, kedei lelamed zichus al Yisrael. The Aznai Mutorah writes that Moshe Rabbeinu asked this particular request in order to do what he calls melamed zichus. Melamed zichus means to go ahead and teach and give the benefit of the doubt to the Jewish people. Shegam heim kishar goye ha'aratzos, hurgulu b'mitzrayim la'avod, u'lehishtachavos lifnei kel hanira la'ayin. Moshe says to God like this, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to realize something, that how long have we been out of Egypt for? How long? We know exactly how long. 89 days. Right, because remember, 49 days to get to Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu has just been up on the mountain for 40 days. So 89 days, 3 months. 3 months, it's not a long time. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you have to appreciate where these people are coming from. They're coming from a culture that was a polytheistic, paganistic culture where people worshipped tangible gods. People worshipped idols. Remember, Egypt was a very big sun-worshipping culture, right? They believed in the god Ra, right, who was the sun god. So, okay, whether or not they had idols, the point is they were worshipping some tangible item called the sun. L'shemesh v'le'yareach o l'kochavim o l'alilim ha'misamlim osam u'pitom nitztavu l'hispalel u'lishtachavos l'kel mistater ro'eh ve'enonira So Moshe says to God, God, you have to appreciate where they're coming from. In Egypt, they were steeped in a culture that was very religious in its own way, in its own strange way, but it was very into tangible religion. All the gods, all the deities were tangible, were visible. And now you've asked them to transition into a form of theology of a God who sees all, but yet what? But yet is not seen. He says, "V'hinei hu evtiach lahem, lahavi lahem, lucho sa'edos, ma'asei elokim, uksuvim be'etzba elokim, v'yusmichim bohem shetia lahem l'chalapachos edus, sha'amnam yesh eloka be'gavhe meromim, v'shem roem ezet davar mamashi, ha'musag al yidei kli ha'asaga shala adam." Shiluach aleim aydei elokim, ha'mestart be'chichayon uzo. So what was amazing about Matan Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu promised them something amazing. I'm going to come down with something tangible from God. Because remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was not just coming down with the Torah. What was he coming down with? The tablets. And who were the tablets written by? None other than the Ribono Shel Olam himself. So for the Jewish people, this was a very exciting moment because they were going to get something tangible from their God. They were going to have something that they could literally look at, that they could literally touch, they could literally see, that would help to cement their faith in this God. What happened? Aval kishaloshav, paragraph C. Moshe l'mamugval. But again, when Moshe Rabbeinu did not return on the day that he was supposed to return. Remember, it was a whole flawed calculation. But on day 40, according to their calculations, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't return. Asu lahem ba'atzmam emtsoi musag v'nira. They thought Moshe was gone. And if they thought Moshe was gone, the only thing they knew how to do was what? Was to revert back to that which they were used to. What did they know before God took them out of Egypt 89 days ago? Right? They knew idols. They knew polytheism. And that's why they go ahead and they make this egel, and they make this dramatic statement of, Elu Elokecha Yisrael. These are your gods. This is your God. Why? Because ultimately that was their theological, their spiritual default. That is what they knew. And therefore, in a moment of crisis, that's what they go back to. He says, Ava kavanasam haisa l'shamayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, God, sounds strange, you're taking this whole egel thing too personally. It's not really about you. It's not that they don't love you. It's not that they don't care about you. It's that when they entered into a moment of crisis, what do people do in crisis? You assume the position, right? You embrace the coping mechanisms that you know. So when they feel that now Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, and if Moshe is gone, maybe God is gone also, they go back to the only thing they know as God, which in this case was an idolatrous form of worship in the form of an egel. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not about you. And therefore, God, excuse me, you have to forgive them. Because again, all they were doing was reacting in a moment of panic and lapsed back into what they knew for the last 210 years. You know, so Moshe puts it in perspective. God, you can't expect them in 89 days to have turned over a new theological leaf. On one hand, you have 89 days of this new theological chinuch versus 210 years of ingrained behavior. Which one do you think God is going to win out in a moment of crisis? Of course, the 210 years of ingrained behavior. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to forgive them. And he goes on. He says, "Af she'inu omri l'neged einayim, k'day she'ira, excuse me, u'k'day sh'lo yistapku ob m'tzias Hashem." So now Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, God, how are we going to prevent this from happening again? How could we prevent this from happening again? So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a very interesting suggestion. He says, "V'she'ispalu elov." So how can we get the people to connect to a God whom they can't necessarily see on a regular basis? Kedai sheyira Hashem leMoshe es kivodo. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should show me your essence. V'hu halo shaliach Yisrael api bakashasam. I am the messenger of the Jewish people. Daber ato imanu v'nishma'o v'ayidaber imanu elokim penamus. After all, Klai Yisrael said to Moshe, Moshe, listen, let God speak to you and you'll relate to us. The people have confidence in me. U'memela ka'asher yomar libnei Yisrael shehu kishlucham ro'o es kevod Hashem bevadai ya'aminu lo v'yishtradlu lehashvos neged einayim es Hashem. So Moshe makes a dramatic request. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, A, don't take the egel personally. It's not a lack of love for you. It's just what happened in a moment of crisis. They lapsed back into what they knew. But God, I'm going to tell you how to solve this. If you, Harini Noz Kivodecha, if you show me your glory, if you truly expose the purest and most intimate aspect of the divine identity to me, and I can see it, I can then tell the people that I saw it. I saw it, and it's there, and it exists. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, the people will believe me. And if I see it, if I see it, it's as if they've seen it. And the fact that they have seen some great aspect of the Shekhinah will be enough for them to invest all of their confidence in you, that you are truly here. He says, "B'shat tefilas v'lo yashuvu l'kisla la'amid negev neinayim b'shat tefilas and pesul masecha," and they will never again have to lapse into any type of idolatrous practice. So again, an incredible, incredible Aznaim LaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu over here saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, twofold message. Number one, you're taking the ego a little too far, God. Excuse me, but you're taking it a little bit too personally. It's not about you. In a moment of crisis, they lapsed back only into what they knew. And the only way we could prevent this from happening again is if you reveal yourself, not in a cloud, not with lightning and thunder, not with any type of great miracle through any aspect of creation. We need to see you. Because if we can see you, if I, Moshe, can see you, the people will believe me about what I've seen, and that will concretize and solidify the existence of God in the consciousness of the Jewish people, and never again will they ever doubt your existence. That's Aznaim HaTorah. Take a look at number 10. We're going to bring these all together in just a little bit. The Chidush Arim goes in a different approach. The Chidush Arim over here, right? This also is an incredible, incredible Chidush. The Chidush Arim writes, the Chidush Arim is the Ger Rebbe. So the Ger Rebbe says, Harini Noz Kivodecha, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shahatora Mi'ida Alav, Ki Bechol Beisi Ne'emanu, Klum Lo Yoda Shemin Anin Naliros Kivod Elokim Velachios, Ha'im Lo Heven Sha'aba Kashaso, Harini Noz Kivodecha, So the Ger Rebbe asks the same question that everybody else has been asking, which is, Moshe, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Do you really think that there's a possibility that God is actually going to give into this request? That he's going to let you see him? You know, Moshe, how this works. You've already seen more than any mortal should be able to see, and you're certainly not going to be given any more divine exposure. So look what he writes. Ela, Moshe Rabbeinu Bikesh, Me'es Hashem, what Moshe Rabbeinu asked of God was the following request. God, I want you to totally forgive us. I want you to really forgive us. I want you to wipe the slate clean. Hashem eshivu ubiyom pakarati upakarati. God says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I could not destroy you. I won't destroy you. Right? The Jewish people will exist. But again, as we just mentioned before, the chet ha'egel, the sin of the golden calf, will remain a stain on the collective spiritual consciousness of the Jewish people. Lo hiskim kivyachol esuach l'hem machalutin. God did not agree to fully forgive the Jewish people. Sama asa Moshe, listen to this, and this is very profound. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Lifnei histakluso shel tzadik hador, mislaktin kol ha'oros shehidlik b'chol yimei chayov b'toraso uv'mitzvosov. So again, a little bit of a Kabbalistic idea. Before a righteous person passes away, leaves this world, all of the light that the tzaddik, that the righteous person generated, through the Torah that he learned, through the Ma'asim Tovim, through the good deeds that he did, are all collected and ascend heavenward in advance of the tzaddik. And what happens? Osu shah shas rotzon letzaddik hador, sheyemale kobak hashosav me'iskono. And in that moment, when the tzaddik comes up to Shamayim, and the tzaddik is standing there surrounded by all of the light that he generated over the last 120 years in the world, that's an incredible, auspicious moment for the tzaddik to make a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that request is granted. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hischanin Moshe, Har'eni Noz Kivodecha. Says the Chidush Arim, what does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu says, show me your glory? Rotza limsor nafsho kiviyocholi b'shil Yisrael ulehistalik mina olam. Har'eni no'ez kivovdecha, says the Chidush Arim, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to God, take me. Take my soul. Take my soul. Remove me from this. I'm finished living. Take me from this world and bring me into the olam ha'emes. Why? He says, kidei Shetimale bakashaso bidvar slichas chatom shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? If I can't guarantee a full forgiveness of the Jewish people while I'm here on this world, I know one way that I can, which is if I die. If you take me from this world and I come up to Shemayim, and before I come to Shemayim, all of the light I generated is going to precede me. And when I stand before your Kisei HaKavod, I will be enshrouded in all of that light that I generated. You will have no choice but to give in to my request. And so I'm willing to leave this world if it means that I can secure the forgiveness for the Jewish people. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? Lo yirani Adam. Lo yirani Adam, says the Chiddush HaRe, means Lo amali es ritzoncha lirosani. No, Moshe, I'm sorry. I will not fulfill your request to come and see me in Shamayim. Velamos l'shem kaparas Yisrael. I will not let you give your life for the atonement of the Jewish people. Kiim v'chai. My command to you, Moshe, is that you must continue to live. Manhig Yisrael tzarech lachios ulahafgir es atzmo bishvilam. Kol yimei chayav al ha'adam. I'm sorry, Moshe, because you know, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this. Rav writes that whenever we speak about Kiddush Hashem, people always think about dying al Kiddush Hashem. The Rav says something very dramatic. He says, dying al Kiddush Hashem is easy. Why? Because you only have to do it once. The greatest challenge is living al Kiddush Hashem, because that's something you have to try to accomplish each and every day. So Moshe, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I appreciate that you love these people and you care for these people so much that you're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for them, and that you're willing to go ahead and literally, you are ready to give up your life and come to Shemayim to be able to secure for them that forgiveness. But Moshe, I'm sorry. The answer is no. Lo yirani ha'adam. The Adam, the man is Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not coming to see me now. Why? Because v'chai. Because it's more important for me right now for you to be able to continue to live, because what you can accomplish for the people as you continue to live is much more important. That's the Chiddush Harim. Another approach. Number 11, Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch writes the following idea. Rav Hirsch writes, we have already repeatedly remarked that kavod expresses in a spiritual and moral sense that which kovod, weight, mass, is in a material sense. It accordingly describes that which announces the whole spiritual and moral contents of a being, and therefore used of God, every trace which announces the reality of God. Repeatedly we find in the Torah that Vayira Kavod Hashem. If then Moshe here begs to be given a sight, which up to now has not been granted to him, and which even now, as the following verses show, was not granted to him to the extent or in the way that he asked for, then Vayera Kavot Hashem, which was granted to the whole nation, must be something very different from what Moshe was asking for here. Skip down a little bit, a couple of lines. He says, now, Heiroa El really means to become visible to somebody, to come out of invisibility for someone. Even the slightest semblance merely indicating the presence of being could come under this idea. Whereas Ro'a Es expresses a full complete seeing, what Moshe, and that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. So Rav Hirsch is saying the following. Rav Hirsch is saying, and it really builds a little bit on the first approach. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Harinos kivodecha, kavod is kovod. Show me your mass. Show me your weight. Show me what you really are. So it sounds a lot like Rashi, but Rav Hirsch is saying something very different. What Moshe Rabbeinu in essence is really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, help me to understand who and what you are. If there's one thing, here, let me just show you. Look at number 12. So the Gemara has a very interesting understanding. So the Gemara says that Harinas Kivodach, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tovlo, v'yesh tzadik v'ralo, yesh rasha v'tovlo, v'yesh rasha v'ralo. What was Moshe Rabbeinu asking? Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, why are there righteous people who have it good and righteous people who suffer? Why are there wicked people who have it good and wicked people who suffer? Now, the obvious question is, what does this have to do with what's going on at Har Sinai? The answer is nothing. So what is the Gemara saying? What Moshe really is pondering over here is the concept of the theological complexities of the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand you. I don't understand how you work. I don't understand how you operate. I don't understand how you make the decisions you make. Now, why is this all coming to a head now? So again, let's pause here for just a moment. See, here's what we have. We now have five different approaches in understanding Har'eini Nas Kivodecha. What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? According to Rashi and Chizkuni, simple, I mean, nothing simple here, but the simple approach, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see the totality of the Ribono Shel Olam. I've seen the cloud, I've seen the thunder and lightning, now I want to see God. Second approach, Rashbam, what is he asking for? Bris. Give me a covenant. I need a tangible display that you are really going to make good on the promises, that you're going to set us apart, and that you are yourself are going to lead us. Third approach is Nine LaTorah, God. Clearly what's lacking for the Jewish people is some type of tangible manifestation of God. That's why in moments of crisis, they lapse back to what they know, tangible God. If you would just reveal yourself to me, and I could report back to them, I saw God in his totality, that would forever cement within their spiritual consciousness that you do exist, and in the next moment of crisis, they won't lapse back into what they know from Egypt. Approach number four, V'chidush Yarim, Harinas Kivodecha, God, I want absolute forgiveness. And if I can't accomplish that here in this world, I'm willing to what? I'm willing to give up my life, I'm willing to come before the Kisei HaKavod and plead the case there. Approach number five, Rav Hirsch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really don't understand you. I don't understand you. I don't understand how you work. I don't understand how you operate. Har'eini na'es kivodecha. And the Gemara is just quoting an example of this, because one of the greatest theological complexities we encounter in this world is why the righteous suffer, why the wicked prosper. So the Gemara is just using it as an example of Moshe Rabbeinu being perplexed by the ways of the Ribono Shel Olam. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu so perplexed? So you have to appreciate the context in which this is all happening. Take a look at number 13. You have to appreciate the fact that as a result of the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu feels very unsettled. Very unsettled. Take a look at number 13. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, lech raid. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe? This is while Moshe Rabbeinu is still up on the mountain. He's still on Har Sinai. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who tells Moshe Rabbeinu, lech raid, go down, kishiches amcha, asher ha'elisa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because the nation that you took out of Egypt, shiches, has corrupted himself. Shiches literally means have destroyed themselves. Look at Rashi number 14. Lech raid. Now this is a very dramatic statement. Lech raid means get up and go down. Get up and go down. Rashi, now again, what's striking about this is what? Is what? The harshness. The harshness. What did Moshe do? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? So look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Look at Rashi, is number 14. Lech raid migvulascha. Lo nasati lecha gidula ela bishvilam. Moshe, I only gave you your greatness because of the people. Lo nasati ba'osa sha'a nisnade Moshe mipi beizdin shel mala. In that moment, says Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu was excommunicated from the Beis Din Shel Mala. You know what Lech Raid means? Lech Raid means? Lech Raid means get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Why? Shiches Amcha. Look what God says. You know, look what your kids did. Right? Look what your kids did. Shiches Ha'am Lo Ne'emar. Doesn't say my nation. It doesn't say the nation. Rather, what does it say? Ela Amcha. Your nation. In this moment, something so dramatic has occurred. Moshe Rabbeinu does not know what has happened to his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought we were tight. I thought we were close. I thought we were good with each other. I understand that people did something bad. Why are you taking it out on me? I've been sitting here with you for the last 40 days. Remember what Moshe Rabbeinu has sacrificed already until this point. He sacrificed his marriage. He sacrificed his children. He sacrificed any trappings of a normal life. Really? Lech Raid? That's what you have to say to me? You tell me to get out? 1 second, we're sitting here, we're having a chavrusa. Moshe Rabbeinu and God. The next second, you're telling me not just, Moshe, listen, you know, there's this trouble down there. Please go down, check it out, see what's happening. Lech Raid, get out of here. Kishiches amcha. Because look, you know what God is saying? Moshe, you know what the subliminal message there is? You have failed in your leadership. Because look at what in the 89 days that you've led this people, you have been unable to instill within them a sense of spiritual strength, and you failed. It goes on. Look at number 15. This is in the aftermath. In the aftermath of the episode. So the Torah says, Moshe yikach es ha'ohel. So this is, again, this is not talking about the Mishkan. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's own tent. Moshe took his tent, v'nata lo michutz lamachane. And where does he take it? He takes it outside of the camp. Herchek min hamachane, very far from the camp. V'karlo ohel moed. And he called it ohel moed. V'hayokom, not to be confused with the Mishkan. The Mishkan later on is also going to be called ohel moed. But right now, before there's a Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu's tent is called the tent of meeting. V'hayokom mevakesh Hashem, yotzel ohel moed, Hashem michutz lamachane. Anyone seeking God would come out to this tent of Moshe Rabbeinu that was pitched outside the camp. So, can you imagine this scene? Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the leader, now moves his home well outside the confines of the camp. And look again what Rashi comments over here. Lokeach ohalo v'noteach michutz l'machane. Moshe Rabbeinu takes his tent, pitches it outside of the camp. Amar, menuda l'rav, menuda l'talmid. If the Jewish people are excommunicated from God, they're excommunicated from the student, from me as well. So what's happening over here? Moshe Rabbeinu, in this episode of the Chet Ha'Egel, the sin of the golden calf, has seen a dramatic rupture in his two relationships. His relationship with God is not the same. You know, when someone who you love and someone who you care about speaks to you in a very harsh and abrasive fashion, it's difficult to know what to do with that. Especially if what? If you don't know where it's coming from. Right? Why? What did I do? What was my misdeed? What was my chet? What was my sin? So God, what does this mean for me and you? You told me to get out of here. You blamed me for the failures of the people. So what does that say about our relationship? So the relationship with God is strained. And furthermore, now the relationship with the people is strained. How so? Because at this point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked now to go ahead and move his tent outside of the camp. So he feels distance from God on one hand, distance from the people on the other hand. And if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you're thinking to yourself a very simple question. What is going on here? I must have missed something because something does not make sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu, why would you treat me like this? Now, what's my role? What's my relationship with the Jewish people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be that the people that you spent generations cultivating, remember, the people who are here now are the grandchildren of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These are the people to whom you made a promise to bring to Eretz Yisrael, and yet you were just moments away from destroying them. So what does the Gemara say? Harinos kibodecha, God, I don't understand you. I thought I knew you. I thought I understood you. But I really don't get you. I really don't understand how you work. I really don't understand what's going on in the divine mind. And I don't understand your cheshbonos. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu, again, we could bring all of the different approaches together. Harinos kibodecha means what? God, I need from you, like the Rashbam said, I need from you a promise of future stability. You know, when you have a rupture in a relationship, the reason why that is so traumatic is because we count on our relationships to be stable. When they prove to be unstable, that's very settling. And what we request from our relationship partner is what? One thing, stability. I need to know what to expect in this relationship. So I already asked Kivodecha, now we're going to combine all of the approaches. Number one, the Rashbam. What does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu wants a bris, when he wants a covenant? God, I need to know what to expect going forward because I had one set of expectations and clearly again, something happened. Hareini nos kibodecha, let's make a covenant about what is going to occur going forward. Are you going to lead us? If so, promise it in a tangible fashion. Are we separate and distinct from the nations of the world? If so, then concretize it in a covenant. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to truly understand you. One thing I've come to understand that I don't know who you are. I don't really know who you are. Sar'eini nas kibodecha, show me your shechina. Show me, just give me an insight into who you are. Number three. I'm sorry, I skipped one. First is Zayin Torah. So remember what the Zayin Torah said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me your shechina. Why? Because I need to be able to tell the people that you exist, right? Show me some tangible display so I can tell the people you exist. Number three, Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me your Shechina so that at least I have a better chance of truly coming to understand who and what you are. Number four, Rav Hirsch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't just really want to know what you are. I actually want to understand why you do the things you do. Show me your kovod. Show me your weight. Show me what it is that drives you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be honest with you. If you're not going to do these things for me, then what? Har'eninaz kevodecha chidushe harim. Take me from this world. Because I can't go on like this. This has been a turbulent and traumatic experience for me. You understand what's occurring over here in this parasha? Is Moshe Rabbeinu was in an intimate relationship that he thought was on one level, and now everything has dramatically changed. And Moshe Rabbeinu does not know what to do with this new circumstance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm coming to you, and I'm telling you what I need to resume the relationship. Har'eni na es kivodecha. I need a promise of future stability, bris, rashbam. I need to be able to actually see you so that we can ascertain that you really do exist, as Naim LaTorah. I need to get some insight into who you are. I feel like I don't know you, Rashi. I need to understand why you do the things that you do, Rav Hirsch. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you can't give that to me, then, har'eni na es kivodecha. Then don't keep me in this relationship here. Because I'm concerned that it's going to be too traumatic for me. It's going to be too painful for me. It's not going to meet my expectations. And I'm constantly going to go into this relationship with an ever broken heart. So amazingly enough, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to? And it's very dramatic. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to Moshe Rabbeinu? Number 17. Vayomer. Ani a'avir kol tuvi al panecha. I will go ahead and bring, now this is, the wording itself is interesting. I will let all my goodness pass before you. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lefanecha. I will call out with my name of God in front of you. V'chanosi asher achon. V'richamti asher arachim. And I will favor when I wish to favor. And I will have compassion when I wish to have compassion. Vayomer, and God says, lo suchal liros espanai, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will not be able to see my face, for man shall not see me and live. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? You know what? Lo yirani adam v'chai. I think everyone understands it to mean that a person can't go ahead and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and continue to live. Perhaps what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is, ki lo yirani adam, man can't see me v'chai, because that's not life. Moshe, your premise is mistaken. Moshe Rabbeinu, you think that you are supposed to understand me, God. You think that you're supposed to have clarity of vision. Now, why does Moshe Rabbeinu think this? It's very obvious. Because remember where Moshe Rabbeinu is coming from. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming from a situation where he interacted with God in a very obvious and apparent fashion. The first time he interacts with God, it's not like Avram Avinu, right? When Avram Avinu first interactions with God, what is he? What happens? He hears a voice. What is Moshe Rabbeinu? What happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? He sees a manifestation of God. Avram Avinu never saw God. Avram Avinu, okay, the Bris Ben Abisur was the one time. Moshe Rabbeinu sees God. He sees God in the plagues, right? Remember again, by the splitting of the sea. What does the Pasuk say? Ze keli v'anvehu. This is my God and I will exalt him. And Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Gemara that says that the people literally were able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zekeli. There was some type of physical manifestation of God that they were able to see. The moon comes down each and every day. Moshe Rabbeinu just spent 40 days on top of a mountain. So if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, your expectation is that your understanding of God should be crystal clear. Your relationship of God should be absolutely solid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're wrong. You're wrong. The experiences until now, I understand why you would think that. But let me explain to you something. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Life is actually about not seeing God. Life is not about splitting of the Red Sea. Life is not about the plagues. Life is not burning bushes. Life is not mun. Life is not Sinaitic revelation. Ultimately, again, Moshe, your expectation for the future is based on your experiences of the past. And you assume that because God was overt, God was clear, God was had physical manifestations, that that's the way it's going to be going forward. Not true. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Why? Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu is, what makes the relationship with God so special is the struggle that it entails. And the reason why there is a struggle, the reason why what creates the struggle is the lack of appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What creates the struggle are all of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was struggling with at this point in time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't understand. What to you appear to be the problems in the relationship are in fact all the very things that have the ability to make the relationship so special. The reason why a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so meaningful is because it's hard. Is because it's plagued with so many questions, is because it's difficult, is because it's riddled with doubt, is because we don't get direct covenants with God, because we don't get to see God, because we don't understand the cheshbonos of God. And yet what? And yet despite all of that ambiguity, despite all of that lack of transparency, we still forge forward in an effort to cultivate and create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says God to Moshe Rabbeinu, that is indeed the very essence of the man-God relationship. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to essentially tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to go ahead and switch your frequency. Your expectations are wrong. You know, sometimes in relationship therapy, right, often when two people in a relationship are having problems, why are they having problems? Because their expectations are not in alignment, right? If I expect one thing and the person with whom I'm in the relationship is expecting something totally different, of course we're going to clash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to recalibrate your expectations. You've seen me a lot in the last 89 days, and that was necessary to accomplish a variety of objectives. But that is not the paradigm of our relationship going forward. Going forward, I'll be obscured in the cloud. Going forward, you will often be baffled by the things that you see occurring before you. Going forward, you will wonder why certain things happen in the world. And you know what your job is? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, your job is to still strive to have a relationship with me despite all of the questions, despite all of the challenges, despite all of the doubt. And it is those very questions, that very doubt, those very difficulties that make our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so significant. If having a relationship with God was easy and obvious, then there'd be no great chap to it. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is plagued by all of these questions, our conception of God is plagued by all of these questions, is why if we're able to go ahead and exist in the relationship with all of the doubt, that is what makes the relationship amazingly meaningful. And how does the story end? What does Moshe Rabbeinu respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Correct. Nothing. In essence, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in halacha, there's a concept called shtika kehoda'a. Silence is acquiescence. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. But I accept that these are the ground rules of the relationship. So amazingly enough, what we see unfolding over here, and I think this is so validating. Why is it validating? Because, you know, sometimes it's good to know that the struggles that we have as ordinary people are the same struggles that the greatest prophets had as well. It's good to know that the struggles we have in trying to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does certain things, visits certain circumstances upon us, seems to be absent in times of need, seems to do things that work against our best interests, questions that we each and every one of us have. And so often, we think that those questions are a lack of emunah. It's a lack of faith. And what we see from Moshe Rabbeinu is that no, it's not a lack of anything. That's part of the dynamic of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing wrong with questioning. There's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with being baffled. There's nothing wrong with scratching in and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from me? Why are you doing this? But we have to accept the fact that that is part and parcel of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by design. It's the ambiguity. It's the bafflement. It is the questioning that ultimately makes the relationship hard. But it's the fact that makes the relationship is hard that if we're able to achieve it and surge forward, that's what makes it so meaningful. And the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu had to accept the fact that even the best relationship with God will always be filled with incredible questions and incredible feelings of doubt. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu made the conscious decision to surge forward. We learn from that lesson as well. It's normal to doubt. It's normal to question. We have circumstances in our personal lives and in our national lives that often leave us wondering, why? What's the cheshbon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me an answer. If only, har'ini noas kivodecho. explain this to me, because I can't for the life of me understand it. We have to recognize that although it's okay to question, and although it's okay to ponder, very often the request of Moshe ben Harinos Kivodecha is not answered. But our mandate, our job, is our mission is to continue to cultivate the most meaningful and passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite all of the doubt and all the difficulties. And the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu became successful the moment he accepted this reality, our spiritual success hinges on the same level of acceptance as well. All right, we'll stop over here. Next week, in Yirtzeh Hashem, next week will be our last shiur before Pesach. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, it will be on the Haggadah. It'll be insights into the Haggadah next week, and then we'll go on break until after Pesach.